Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Today I'm joined by former Motherwell midfielder Lee McCulloch to reminisce on his time at Fir Park. We'll also focus on his time with Scotland, Wigan, Rangers and Kilmarnock. Lee, I'm delighted to have you on today. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. As you say, I'm looking forward to reminisce about the old club. I can't wait.
Well, you had quite an introduction to life at Motherwell, starting off with a cup tie over in Finland. Motherwell had lost the first leg 3-1. You come on in the second leg, turned it around to 2-0. There's a chance just right at the end. So close to becoming an instant hero at Fir Park. What was the experience like, first of all, to come in at such a level and such an important game?
Well, obviously coming through the ranks at Motherwell, I was blessed to have played with your likes, your Dougie Arnott, your Tommy Coins, Phil O'Donnell's, all these guys. It was a great grounding for me on the YTS and coming through and to eventually get the chance to come on in a UEFA Cup game, being so young, was a great experience, and I was just unlucky. I think I've hit my shot for about 20 yards. I think there was about 10 minutes to go and we needed a goal, and I've hit a shot for about 20-25 yards and it's just skimmed the post and went wide, and that was my first real taste of anything been in the press or the papers. And I remember on the bus on the way home, Dougie Arnott saying to me, if you'd have scored that goal, big man, you'd have the statue outside Fir Park. And I laughed at it, but it's just great memories, although we obviously didn't get there. I remember the game as the Borussia Dortmund games as well, where I was YTS. I was actually in the squad, but I was probably too young to be involved. So amazing memories, my time at Motherwell.
For most of that season, you didn't really feature, but you were more prominent the following season. You came off the bench at the start of the season in a 3-0 win at Raith Rovers and went on to make 16 appearances that season. Was that the season you believed you kind of established yourself as one of the first team after obviously biding your time and coming through the ranks?
I think it's always good to be dripped in to get your confidence yourself playing in the first team, but also the manager's got to have confidence in you and you've got to feel that confidence from him. And I felt that from Alec McLeish, who really helped, and Billy Davis as well, who really helped me integrate into the first team, and the pathway was clear there for us to go and enjoy it. So I think I first really felt as if I was a first team player when I got the number 9 jersey, although I still to this day don't see myself as a striker. I'm more of a utility player, looking back through my career and all the teams that I played with, I think a utility player. But getting that number 9 jersey was something special.
In that season, obviously didn't go brilliantly on the park, but you go into the final game, you've got a decider against Inverland to avoid the playoff. Up steps Mitchell van der Gag with one of the greatest goals in Motherwell history. I think the goalkeeper didn't even see it on the way back out. Absolute bedlam at Fir Park. Real relief that the club had avoided being dragged into that relegation playoff. I take it the overwhelming feeling was one of relief that the club didn't face that two-legged playoff and potentially dropping out the top flight for the first time in a long time.
I'll never ever forget that goal. I think somebody, I can't remember who it is, just touched it to the side of him and I can't even believe he shot for there in the first place, but to see it going right into the top corner and the Fuller fourth, and just that the scenes and the feeling of relief after that game, as you rightly say, was something super special. And albeit celebrating not getting into playoffs, but Motherwell went on to have so much better times in their time there. A bit of a transitional period for the club as well, with the change of managers that they had and the change of personnel that was brought in at the time. It was hard for it to really, really get that continuity and kick off times. And at times I'll never forget the days.
The following season, again, you're playing more regularly. You got your first goals as well for the club. And it was quite a game as well, the 6-2 victory against Hibs. Alex McLeish was obviously departed the club, and it was just quite a strange time. Harry Campman comes in that season as well. We'll start off with the game itself and the 6-2 against Hibs. It's not a regular scoreline, albeit we did draw with Hibs 6 each all these years later, but what a great result.
I think
result.
There's something about Hibs. Great result, and again, to get the first goals were brilliant. Personally, were great, and to get two in the one game, I think I'd went long enough without getting a goal, but I went on up front. Kevin Christie, right back at the time, crossed the ball for me, and I've managed to get a head on it, and then another cross has come in to the right just a couple of minutes later, and I've took a touch, and I've ended up coming away with two goals. So brilliant times. Oney Coyle, Tommy Coyne, all these guys just congratulating me, and again, that I felt that was like the stepping stone to help me go on and get confidence in having a good career.
Just about in Alex McLeish, he gave you your first team opportunity. How much do you owe to Alex McLeish? He's a figure that maybe divides the support, given he had to take over from Tommy McLean, who enjoyed great success at the club. He was in his first role as a manager. He was maybe cutting his teeth a wee bit, but he seems to be very highly regarded amongst every experienced player and young player that I've spoken to.
Yeah, spot on there. I think to take on the mantle after Tommy McLean is a hard enough job in itself. And then when you look at Alec at the time, it was his first job, as you've touched on as well, which is a massive thing, having experienced it myself. So, yes, it was always going to be hard, but utmost respect for Alec. The way he treated me when I was at Motherwell, the way it's just when I was signing and I had that buy-in for his vision for the club. So, yes, I'm still in touch with Alec. That's how much I think of him. Tremendous manager, went on to manage some big clubs, especially down in England and stuff, and obviously to be the Scotland manager, to be a success, to take them. I think we were 13th, 14th in the year for Alec, just after Walter Smith. So his pedigree speaks volumes for me, and as a man, I can't speak highly enough of him.
And what about the experienced guys? You've already mentioned the likes of Dougie Arnott and Tommy Coyne. You would have had Brian Martin there as well. Really good professionals that had great careers in the game. That must have been a massive support network somewhat for you to learn off these guys and to be able to lean on them for advice in the more difficult times during the early parts of your career.
The thing that I feel blessed and lucky about is coming through as an apprentice YTS, try to make your way in the game, and with a dressing room always willing to help. The players that you're mentioning now, it was me, Steve McMillan, Stephen Craigan, these sort of guys that were coming through the ranks, and we were learning off the likes of Billy Davis, Paul Lamberts, McLeish's there. So the experience and the club legends like your Jamie Dolans, and we're vying for a place in the team with your Paul McGrillins, these sort of guys. So I think the grounding and the way that you're shaped into thinking about being a professional. And I mean, what I mean by that is the resilience that you need. Always easy on us, the first team, but it certainly helped us in our way. And if you look at Steve McMillan, Stevie Craigan, remember Big Roy Sando, these were the guys that I come through with that went on and done well in their careers. So I think it's all to do with the characters we had in that first team dressing room.
And there's a lot to be said for the fact they had great characters, but they were also very good footballers, weren't they? There's some real talents there.
Oh, definitely. And I think that was a standard at the time in the first team. It was so hard to get round to be training with the first team that you really had to shine out in the reserves. And luckily enough, we managed to do that with managers that had the buy-in to let us go round and train with the first team as well. And learn off these guys like Tommy Coyne, international players. And it's great that the club signing Sean McSkimmon from Kilmarnock at the time, spending a bit of money. It was a sort of vision of going forward, and I think that team showed that that it had the belief and ability to do really well.
So after McLeish leaves, Harry Campman comes in, and it's a real time of transition. Harry clearly had his own views of how to go forward and made some sweeping changes. It seemed to be the end of quite a lot of the old guard and started a new dawn at the club. Was that difficult to accept? I think there's quite a few players that feel that they had more to give but weren't given the opportunity under Harry.
Harry, it was a real culture change in every sort of aspect through the players that he brought in, albeit the massive positive was probably Simo Vallecari, who was there and sort of thrived under him. But I just think there was a bit of a culture change in the basis of the dressing room. Didn't about the experience, and he was sort of blocking the pathway for the youths that came in and made an impact in the first team for all these guys that I've mentioned that I was coming through with, your Craigans and your McMillans and your Asandos. All these guys, Ian Ross, these guys that have come through and made an impact in the first team, he was sort of blocking that as I look back. So I think that's why maybe he didn't go down well with the sort of younger ones and experienced ones as well. There came a time where they weren't really having his methods and things had to change then.
It seems to be quite often the case in Scottish football when a so-called outsider comes in, it can really upset the apple cart. But do you think that Harry Campman perhaps underestimated Scottish football or didn't have a great enough understanding of Scottish football to be a success at Fir Park?
I do, and the way it was a little bit disrespectful to some of the first team players and the younger players in the press, I think that was his... That's what shot him in the foot of the boys not really been too happy. And obviously the fans have picked up on that. The board's picked up on that. And that's how he's probably left. Because you had a dressing room full of honest players, honest, hard-working players. And the last thing they want, and any dressing room wants, is to be named and shamed in the press, so to speak. So that's what I think was the first downfall of Harry. He might have been a nice guy. But as a manager, I don't think the boys were really having them, to be brutally honest.
And that was the case with the football club, I suppose. It wasn't very long before Harry Campman was replaced by Billy Davis. And that was a season of massive change. John Boyle was obviously holding the purse strings, and there was been money spent left, right and centre. Some massive names came in, the likes of John Spencer, Jed Brannan, Andy Gorham. The club had a vision to be the third force.
They did. And I remember at the time, I thought that was going to be my Motherwell career over under Harry. And Billy Davis got obviously the job. And he came out to my house to speak to me to say, listen, this is going to be a fresh start for you. I've got a vision for you. I know we're going to kick on as a club and I want you to be a part of that. And that obviously gave me a bit of confidence to go on and thrive really under Billy. I felt I probably played my best football for the club under Billy Davis, tremendous man manager, and we had something special that season going on with the team spirit, with the likes of Wee Spenny coming in, who was a superstar at that time in England. He's coming in, Don Goodman, Jed Brannan, tremendous football player, and sort of Billy get all the boys in the dressing room pulling in the one direction again, whereas before it wasn't really working. With guys like Brian McClair coming in to play with Motherwell and share his experience in Man United, and to be talking about your David Beckhams and all these guys who shared the dressing room with. So it was a real upward spiral for everybody at the club at the time.
And really looking at that season, there was maybe then league standing wasn't quite what we hoped for, but I always look back in that season and Hearts came to Fir Park as Scottish Cup holders and turned them over 3-1 in Skye, and then I think the next round was the game that basically Motherwell signed Stevie Nicholas in the back of. He had a really good game for Stirling Albion, who were managed by John Philibin at the time. Going to the quarterfinals and lose at home to St Johnston. And it just felt, with the experience in the team and the football that was being played, it was a real opportunity to get to the semi-final, and who knows what happens from there. Was that one of your regrets at Motherwell, that you didn't manage to get a wee bit deeper into any of the cup competitions?
If there's one regret that I've had, you've hit the nail on the head, was not to get that second or third spot in the league or progress to a final at Hampden, and get, because I experienced the 91 final, and I had that fresh in my head with a full of Motherwell. All my friends, family and everybody, we all went to the final, and I was desperate to try and make that happen again, and it just wasn't to be, really. The cup finals can be real special occasions, and I think it was maybe just a wee bit of luck. I remember the Hearts game on Sky. I remember it really, really well. I think Hearts were put a bid in, or a couple of bids in for me at the time, and they were the ones that were wanting to buy me, and John Boyle saying, "No, you're going nowhere, we don't need the money," sort of thing. So I had to fly down to London to meet him at his house, and he convinced me to sign a new contract and stuff. And it was just basically, they were the time, the best times, being a young boy coming in through a dressing room, learning for a dressing room, learning for a manager that was tremendous. It was the best times. Sometimes I look back and I think, I didn't realise how lucky I was at the time. Some of the best times in my career, definitely.
Moving on to the following season, it was your most successful season in front of goal. Certainly, you get 12 goals that season, and there was some real highlights. Yes, the team missed out on the UEFA Cup spot on the final day, and that was despite beating Rangers at Firth Park. But there's a few kind of standout games. The first one I'd like to talk about is another Sunday night game, a 3-2 victory over Celtic. It's one of these games that I'm actually quite surprised doesn't feature in the kind of classic Sky games, because it was a real ding-dong affair. There was everything in the match, great atmosphere, a night under the lights, and to come out on top against Celtic, a massive occasion, obviously.
Brilliant times, and being a young boy and getting to play in the games and making an impact in the games, showed you how far the club had come and the expectation levels we had at the club, because when the Old Firm were coming at the times, and that was two really good Old Firm teams, we were expecting to beat them. We wanted to beat them. We didn't want to just come and roll over. Our expectations were, we want 3 points here, and I think that showed you the confidence in the ranks in the dressing room at that point. Again, playing in the Old Firm games, to beat any of them, great occasions at Firth Park, because it's a really, really hard place to go and play football for any away team.
And Kevin Twaddle wouldn't forgive me if I didn't mention the game a couple of weeks before that. It was only a month before, actually, that we'd went to Celtic Park in the midweek, did it with 10 men for the majority of the game as well. Twads gets the opener after 13 minutes. Backs to the wall stuff at times, but a victory at Celtic Park that don't come about very often. But again, it just demonstrates the fact that the team could go toe-to-toe with the best that Scottish football had to offer and come out in the right end of a result.
It shows you the character we had to go to Celtic Park and get 3 points with 10 men for the majority of the game. Showed you the character we had in the dressing room. And that was getting exercised every day in training, with how hard we worked and the togetherness we had in the dressing room. And what a finish that was for Big Towards. Tremendous goal. What a player he was. Doesn't really get as much credit, I think, as he should, for the ability that he had. But yes, just brilliant times. Great. I remember that night clearly as well.
Again, the cup was maybe a rare down point of that season. The game against Ayr United, it was 3-3 at half time, an absolutely bonkers game of football. They get reduced to 10 men. during the second half as well. We couldn't force an equaliser, go out the cup 4-3. Again, the opportunities seemed to fall for us quite a few times in the cups. I just weren't quite able to take advantage of
them. No, I think we didn't really have much luck in the cups, as you're alluding to. I think, yeah, I remember that game as well. It was a good Air United team. Like, say, Gary Teal, my good mate, played for Air United that day. And again, it just seemed to be that it slipped away in a cup game. So, yes, that's probably, as we spoke about before, a massive regret about no progressing in the cups. But I think it was all about just trying to do as well as you could in the league then after that. So, yeah, that's about it.
What about that final day game against Rangers? As we've already talked about, both Rangers and Celtic were so, so strong at that time, but we were able to knock them off on quite a few occasions. Rangers come to Fir Park, the team rise to the occasion, they get a 2-0 victory, but it's not quite enough. That must have been incredibly frustrating, because in the weeks prior to that, Motherwell beat Hibs, they went to Tannadice and beat Dundee United, and then obviously finished it off with a victory against Rangers. So to still miss out on the place in Europe, it must have been really heartbreaking, to be honest.
Frustrating, but I suppose that's football, isn't it? You can only... The league table doesn't lie at the end of the season, and although we put some great results together at the end of it, we still didn't deserve to get there in the end, and that's probably one of the biggest frustrations, especially when you're finishing the season on a high with these results that we were getting. But there's nothing you can do about it. The league table obviously doesn't lie. So yes, frustrating to finish the season so well. Just a little bit frustrating, as I say.
On to season 2000-2001. By this point, you were a key part of the setup, and that's backed up by your story about John Boyle kind of flying you down to try and negotiate a new contract. You'd signed a new deal. Up until February, you'd scored 9 goals for the team. Your last game for Motherwell came in a win at St Mirren before you would move on to Wigan. And I can remember the kind of hysteria as you and Stevie McMillan were flown in by helicopter and signed your deals. It netted the club a vital amount of money, really, in terms of what would go on to happen in 2002 and the administration of the football club. It's possibly quite a key moment when you consider it, the revenue that was made from both of those transfers. Yeah. That being said, it must have been a difficult one to leave a club that you had enjoyed so many great memories with.
There's a wee bit of everything you've touched on there, I think. Yeah, I just remember Billy Davis giving me the phone call, just saying that basically they'd accepted a bid for Wigan Athletic. It was too much money to knock back, basically. And he thought it was a great opportunity for me to go down and ply my trade in England and really try and make an impact in the English game. He says I could be, myself and Stephen could be proud for everything that we've achieved at the club, and to net the club that amount of money, then he sees that as if we're, that's us doing our bit, because we come through the ranks. So I think all in all, everybody won from that situation, and it was just good to move on, leaving the club in a better place, basically, financially.
I think that it's maybe a bit of an unfair assessment here, but I think that in kind of recent interviews where you've been talking about your time at Motherwell, it's maybe surprised some people how much your time at Motherwell meant to you. I don't know whether that's maybe just from obviously going on to play with Rangers for so long, that maybe dilutes people's memories somewhat, but yeah. It's clear from speaking to you just now that you've got such an affinity and such an affection for the football club.
I have, and I always will have. I think you're spot on there. When you come up and you play with the Old Firm, everybody just judges you as the Old Firm player and the Old Firm fan, which, yes, I was a Rangers fan when I was younger, but I was also a Motherwell fan going to the Motherwell games, obviously being a local boy. So I think I'm grateful for all my time at Motherwell because it's gave me the grounding through the YTS scheme, through being an apprentice. As I like say, working with Tommy McLean, Tam Forsyth, Jim Griffin, all these guys. Having trained with the 91 squad, your Davy Coopers, I can't be anything but privileged through my time at Motherwell. And, I loved every minute. It's a great club with great fans, and I still go and watch when I can. Obviously, I'm at a different club now, but any chance I get, I'll go and watch Motherwell and obviously support them.
It must give you a bit of pride as well that the conveyor belt has continued, even towards the end of your time at Fir Park. There was the likes of Keith Lasley and Stevie Hamill coming through, and that's developed into the likes of James McFadden and Stephen Pearson, who you enjoyed some brilliant memories in the Dark Blue of Scotland with.
Yes, of course. You've just named somebody there, so it's Stevie Hamill. What a player he was for the club. He sort of came into his own when Steve McMillan moved down to Wigan with myself, and being such a young player in that first team environment, how steady he was and how good he was with the ball at his feet, his deliveries, getting forward. I think he's been a tremendous servant for the club. And for another one that's come through the ranks, and touching on the ones you mentioned, McFadden, Pearson, Lasley, all these guys are a credit to the youth system at Fir Park. And there's a wee bit of pressure on the ones at Fir Park because they need to keep on digging out these players and finding a pathway for them, but it can only be a positive. The club through the years have produced numerous amount of players that have went on and made the club money or enhanced the first team. So it's great times for the club, and I think a lot of the youth coaches and the youth setup should be getting spoke about more.
And just kind of bringing it right up to date, I suppose the success of guys like Alan Campbell in the first team, David Turnbull obviously receiving great plaudits before his injury. As you say, it is testimony to the work that goes on behind the scenes and the continued progression and the opportunities that young players will get at Fir Park. Is that something that you feel that stands out about Motherwell, that they are a club that will give youth an opportunity and if you're good enough, you're old enough?
Yes, definitely. I think that's been proved through the years. And Alan Campbell, Midland Park under-21 player, David Turnbull, obviously a lot of people talking about him, tremendous ability and mindset to come in and make the impact that he's made. And let's just hope that, for the club's sake, that they keep this conveyor belt of talent going. Because it's certainly, there's something certainly working, and it's all positive from there. I know many other clubs are trying to do it, but many other clubs maybe at times don't really want to risk putting young players in the team in case they don't get the points. Well, I think over the last maybe 10, 15 years, Motherwell's been up there with one of the clubs that are promoting youth. And it's good for any young player out there. They at least know if they're on the books, they're going to get a chance at Fir Park.
And just as we move to wrap up, these are obviously difficult times for us all. We're all kind of struggling to keep ourselves occupied. What I hope, first and foremost, that yourself and your family are keeping well. How are you coping without football? It's such a big void in our lives, isn't it?
Yeah, it's strange times. This is the first time, really, where I've been completely had nothing to do. So I've been out in the garden, I've been painting, I've been cutting grass, I've been doing everything to take my mind off of the boredom. But really, all I've been thinking about is football. So I've been watching games on my computer of games abroad and different players. It's just trying to keep ourselves busy. And thanks, yes, the family are okay. They're getting a bit bored with me now. They need me out. They need me out the house. But the kids and Amanda are brilliant. Thanks very much.
And life at Dundee United, I hope that's also treating you well. It seems to have been a very successful season to this point. It's just a kind of case of when it will resume and when you'll be able to get back on with things, I suppose.
Yes, loving my time at Dundee United. Fantastic club. And again, we were talking about youth into the first team. There's a great youth set up at Dundee United. Some great young players coming through. And we've got a manager who's not scared to play the youth. So as assistant manager, I've been working quite closely with the younger ones, obviously as well as the first team. We've got individual player performance plans, and we're a sporting director. The setup is slightly different to the most football clubs, but really, really enjoying my time and such a big club as well. So yes, this season's been good. Let's just hope we can get this season finished and get a promotion on the cards for the fans and for us individually. So it's exciting times.
And that would obviously present the opportunity to return to Fir Park next season.
Yes, which would be good. It's always a good place to come. The atmosphere's always great, and the fans are tremendous. They sing their hearts out, and it's no change there. They always have done, and I've still got a lot of friends or Motherwell fans, and it's always good to go back to Fir Park and see a few familiar faces in the canteens and the coaching staff as well. So yes, it's definitely all positive times.
Lee, this has been an absolute pleasure. I'd really like to thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Keep well, and hopefully we'll be back to football very soon.
Yes, fingers crossed, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks a lot, mate.
All right, thanks.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back in the next couple of days. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
Blacking in and out in a strange flat in East London. Somebody I don't really know just gave me something to help settle me down and to stop me from always thinking about you. And you know your life is heading in a questionable direction when you're up for days of strangers and you can't remember anything except the way you sounded when you told me you didn't know what I should do. It's a long road up to recover. Like every other day, and just like every boring blue song, I get swallowed by the pain, and so I fumble for your figure in the darkness just to make it go away. But you're not lying there any longer, and I know that that's my fault. So I've been pounding on the floor, and I've been crawling up the walls, and I've been dipping in my darkness with serotonin boosters, cider, and some kind of smelling salts. It's a long road up to recover. Well, darling, let's make a deal. If anybody ever asks us, let's just tell them that we met in jail. And that's a story that I'm sticking to like a stony-faced accomplice. But tonight I need to hear some truth if I'm ever getting through this. Yeah, you once sent me a letter that said if you're lost at sea, close your eyes and catch the time, my dear, and only think of me. Well, darling, now I'm sinking and I'm as lost and lost could be. And I was hoping you could drag me up and down here towards my recovery. Sign you just a subtle little glimmer, some suggestion that you'd have me. If I could only make me better, then I would stand a little stronger as I walk a little taller all the time. Because I know you are a cynic, but I think I can convince you. Yeah, cause broken people can get better if they really want to, or at least that's what I have to tell myself if I am hoping to survive. It's a long road up to recover. From here, a long way back to the line. this will all be over.